Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Merry Christmas to you. Our text for today comes from the traditional Christmas text that we find in the scriptures. And in just a few moments, you're going to meet Mary and how she found out that she was pregnant with God's son, who is Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is our Savior. And this is an amazing story. It's a story that we share every time around this year, but I wrestle with calling it a story because when you hear the word story, sometimes you think that that means it's fictitious. And this story has some pretty amazing things. There's some miracles, there's some angels, there's some like kind of crazy stuff that happens, but this is not written as if it's a fictitious tale. This is written as a story that happened to real life people in real time. One of the literary tests to find out if an ancient document is true or not is to look at, in the story, are there things that make the characters look less than perfect? Are there things in the text that make people look like they have flaws? Because if you were making a story up, if you were telling a lie, you would keep out all the flaws. The only reason you would write about your issues is if they really did happen. And in the text, what we're going to read is that everyone involved in this original Christmas story had some issues. They all had some messes. They all had some problems. And today, if you're new to the church scene, I want to say that I'm so honored that you're here today. And in just a few moments, when you hear about some of the miraculous things that happened, you might say to yourself, I don't know if I believe that. I'm more rational. I don't really know if I'm on board with that. And if that's you, for just a second, would you just commit to listen with an open mind? You don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to agree with what we believe. But would you just listen with an open mind? You might as well. You're here. You came to church today. So maybe, just maybe, God wants to say something to you. And if you're here today and you would say, yeah, I'm an old school at this church thing. I grew up in the church. I know all about it. I want to challenge you to also listen with an open mind. So often when we come to these ancient texts, our brain checks out because it's the same story every year. And so just for a moment, would you listen with an open mind and just say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me? Because we're here. So shouldn't we hear from God? In order to do that, I want to read our text. And at Next Level, we do something that's a little bit odd. We honor the text. And the reason that we do that is because I really believe that if you honor something, if you respect something, you have a chance to get more out of it. And it just makes sense. If you disrespect something, you're not going to get anything out of it. And so we really believe that this is not just some ancient writing. This is a text that has power to change our lives. And so to honor it, I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me a portion of our text for today. It's Luke 1, 35 through 37. Read it with me nice and loud. It says, "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God.'" Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we invite you to speak to our hearts. God, you don't need an invitation. You can speak whether we give you permission or not. But God, we want you to. And God, some of us have huge doubts here. Some of us have huge problems, even problems with you. And we just know that you're bigger than our issues. You're bigger than our problems. God, some of us are apathetic with faith and we're just going through the motions. Would you wake us up spiritually? God, you know exactly what we need to hear. So would you speak to each of us individually? And God, whenever you speak, it is always challenging. So would you give us the courage to obey you no matter how hard it is? God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we are going to get back to the traditional Christmas story in just a moment, but I need to ask you to hold on for just a second because I want to read to you a kid's story that at first glance seems like it has nothing to do with Christmas, but it is a story that I feel like actually embodies the message of Christmas perfectly. I want to share with you a story entitled A Perfectly Messed Up Story. So I thought we have this kind of living room scene here, and it would be fun to kind of have story time, and we could read, like, you know, like on Christmas Eve, maybe a dad reads to you. And I feel like, though, that we need someone better than me to read this. Like, it would be great if we could, like, have, I don't know, Morgan Freeman come and read. Like, we need, like, an actor. Like, we need someone with a booming voice. Unfortunately, we're a church, so we can't afford Morgan Freeman. But only if I knew an actor.
And now today, they have decided that they are...
Just look at those two. happy, in love, and saving so much money on their car insurance by switching to Geico. Well, just look at this setting.
Do you have the ring?
Whoa, Helzberg Diamonds, another beautiful setting. I'm not crying. I've just got a bit of sand in my eyes, that's all.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So if you're new to Next Level, this is my dad, and he is an actor. He's had a couple commercials this year that were played all over the nation, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. Will you do the honor?
Absolutely, but before I begin, Rob, would you say, I love you, Dad?
Sure. I love you, Dad.
What?
That's good. A hearing assist commercial, it's been played all over. Thanks. It's well played.
This is Louie's story. Once upon a time, little Louie went skipping merrily along. Tra-la-la-la-la. He sang, for in his heart, Louie knew everything was just, hey, hold on, what's that? Sniff, sniff, lick, lick, a jelly stain, how did that get there? This isn't right. Who would eat a jelly sandwich while reading my book? Plop. Jelly and peanut butter. Ugh. The chunky kind. Hey, hey, hey. Somebody's fingerprints are all over this. Oh, no. What next? Orange juice. Ugh. My story is getting all messed up. We need to show some respect here. Books are important. I mean, they teach us stuff, and they inspire us. Now, can I please get on with my story? Thank you. Okay, from the top. Once upon a time, little Louie went skipping merrily along. Fa-la-la-la-la. You have got to be kidding. This is awful. Quick. Get a paper towel. Rub, rub, rub. Careful. Careful. This is the worst thing ever. What am I going to do? Once upon a time, stop. Forget it. My story is ruined. It's all over. I'm just a messy old book that will end up in some garage sale, a book no one will ever want, read, or love. I give up. Go on without me. This is Louie's story. Who cares?
All right, we will continue Louie's story in just a second. Would you help me thank my dad for reading that? Dad, let your agent know the check's in the mail.
Yes, I've heard that one before.
So it's not a traditional Christmas story, but I wanted to read it to you today because I feel like we all can relate to Louie. We're just walking through this earth, tra-la-la-la, just minding our own business, and then life hits. I don't care who you are today. I don't care if you're young or old. I don't care if you believe in God or you don't believe in God. Messes happen to all of us. And oftentimes when messes happen, we start to wonder what's going on. We may even ask the question, why me? Why am I going through this? And if you're here today and you are a person of faith, it makes things even more complicated. Because as people of faith, we feel like if we're good with God, if we serve God, if we go to church, then God should throw us a bone. And we understand when people that don't worship God, when they struggle, but not us, like we should have everything together. And this idea of being perfect and not having a mess, it's crept its way into the church. So much so that church people often feel like they have to be perfect or pretend to be perfect. In fact, you may have walked in here today and saw all the smiley, happy faces and just thought everyone has their act together. But let me just tell you something. Every person in this room is dealing with a mess. Everybody has some junk. Everyone, that couple that you think is perfectly married, they got some issues. And those friends that you think never struggle, yeah, they struggle. And that person of faith that you just think is perfect and has great faith in God, at some point in their life, they struggle. In fact, I would say if you're here today and you do have a relationship with God, when the messes of life hit, you often wonder, what's the deal, God? Like, if you're all-powerful, if you're all-knowing, and if you're good, couldn't you have protected me from this mess? Couldn't you have stopped this from hitting me? In fact, you may have asked this question, why have God in your life if he's not going to protect you from the messes of life? Have you ever wondered that? Like, why should we even do this? Why should we believe in God? Why should we go to church? Why should God be a part of my life if he's not going to protect me, if he's not going to help me when life throws messes at me? And I think that's a great question. I think it's a question that the original Christmas story actually attempts to answer. The original Christmas story, we read a portion of it, but I want to start at the very beginning of the text and introduce you to a couple characters that you're going to see had some messes in their life. If you'll read with me on the screens in Luke 1, 26 through 28, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, I want to stop there just for a second. There's some things going on here that we need to talk about before we get into the main portion of the text. There's some clues here that say this is some pretty important stuff. And one of the characters that we often forget to talk about at the Christmas season is the character named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was a real-life person, and Elizabeth's husband was a priest. And he was in the temple doing priestly things when the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Now, in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish faith, when they talk about this angel Gabriel, they give him the nickname the Interrupter. Because whenever Gabriel comes on the scene, he interrupts life. He delivers good news, but it's always shocking, it always seems impossible, and it always seems like, I don't really want to follow that news. And so Gabriel comes on the scene, he appears to Elizabeth's husband, and he tells Elizabeth's husband that they are going to have a son. And this son is really important because the ancient prophecy said that before the Messiah would come, God would send a messenger who would pave the way for the Messiah. And the angel tells Elizabeth's husband, your son's going to be the messenger. Your son's going to be the one that paves the way for the Messiah. And you know what he says to the angel? I don't think so. Like, I'm old, and my wife's old as dirt. We're not having kids. Like, it's not in the cards. He actually doubted. And if you're here today and you would say, yeah, you know, I have a hard time wrestling, and I have a hard time believing that angels really exist, and I have a hard time believing that there's a spiritual realm, I want to say that you're in good company, because the characters in the story, they doubt. They have questions. In fact, I'm convinced one of the reasons why Elizabeth's husband doubted in this story is because they are just now coming out of what is known as the 400 years of silence. That is, there's 400 years since God has done a miracle. There's 400 years since God has spoke. There's 400 years since God has come into humanity and said, hey, I'm here and I care about you. Just let this sink in for a little while. 400 years is a long time. America has only been around for 242 years. So almost double the amount of our country's existence, God had been silent. And now all of a sudden, God shows up by sending an angel named Gabriel, and the response is, yeah, I don't think so. Surely not me. But it is true. God sent the angel to tell a message, and it is true. Elizabeth ends up getting pregnant, and she ends up having a son named John. And so Elizabeth is really important to the Christmas story. Gabriel's really important to the Christmas story. And now that we got all that out of the way, let's keep reading. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Somebody just humor me and say Nazareth. 1, 2, 3. Nazareth. A town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So this angel Gabriel comes on the scene a second time in a short amount of span, and he appears to Mary, and he says, hey, you are going to be pregnant with God's son. And he greets her with this greeting, and if you're not careful, you'll miss the significance of this greeting. The angel says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, that phrase is problematic because Mary is not highly favored. In fact, if you were to rewind and talk to Mary the day before this, she would feel like she had pretty bum luck. In fact, Mary was from a town called Nazareth, and Nazareth was not a place of high esteem. In fact, later in Jesus' life, when he's an adult and he starts his public ministry, he's gathering some guys to be his disciples. And one of his first disciples is told, hey, we found the Messiah. And he says, well, where's the Messiah from? And he says, he's from Nazareth. And you know what this disciple says? He says, can anything good come from Nazareth? This place, Nazareth, was not seen as like the place to live. It was not like the place where everyone wanted to move. It's not the place that had the best schools that everyone tried to get to. This was a place where if you heard that your friends were there, you're like, yeah, that's kind of the shady part of town. That's not the best place to live. You know, we do this in our area. There are certain areas in the 757 that have reputations. And the reputation, whether it's true or not, we just kind of believe. That's that area. We know what areas have the best schools and what areas don't have the best schools. And when our friends tell us they live in a certain place, we let them know the opinion of that area. Like, just for a second, just imagine you have the same Christmas tradition that I do, and on Christmas Day, you watch the NBA, because it's on TV all day long. And a big tradition that I have is I watch the Lakers every single Christmas play. And this year, they play at 8 p.m. I'm really excited. Go LeBron James and Lakers. It's going to be awesome. And just imagine that you are watching the Christmas basketball game, and at the introduction, they introduce a 6'9" power forward from Pocosin, Virginia. Okay, laughter is the right response. You would laugh. Like, you know, you don't have to clap necessarily, but you would laugh. Like, if you're in this area, you do not expect NBA players to come out of Pocosin. It just would be shocking. If someone said, yeah, I grew up in Pocosin, and I went straight to the NBA, you'd say, really? Really? Like, Pocosin's a nice place to live, quiet little town, but really? This is the same thing going on. Mary is from Nazareth. It is not a high-esteemed place. It is a place that people look down on. Not only that, but we know that Mary was poor. Now, put that in your theology and think about it for a second. Because so often in America, we think that if someone's highly favored with God, it comes with monetary favor. That is, that you are blessed with riches and with wealth. But Mary is dirt poor, and she's from a town that no one wants to come from and no one wants to claim. And yet the angel says to her, you are highly favored with God. I think if this text tells us anything, it says that God often goes to those that we overlook. And God often goes to the fringes, and he often goes to the people that we say, oh yeah, they have no business listening to God, and they have no business being around God, and they're not very spiritual, they're not very well off. But God often is in the business of using people that other people forget about. Let's keep going in our text. Let's see what happens. Luke 1:29-33, it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, this text is a text that has caused a lot of debate around the Next Level offices. And it's a healthy, it's a friendly debate, but the debate is really centered around a Christmas song that has been around for years, and it's a Christmas song that if you listen to Christmas music, you've probably heard this song. The Christmas song asks a question over and over again, and the question is, Mary, did you know? If you don't know the song, if you're not familiar with it, just know that in the song they just ask, Mary, did you know, over and over again, did you know that Jesus was God's son? And according to this text, yes, she knew. In fact, there's a funny meme that illustrates this perfectly. Mary, did you know? Yes, I knew. The angel told me. Like, it settled it, right? I knew. Like, this is no surprise. And so when you listen to that song, you can say this is a stupid song. Of course she knew. Like, this is dumb. Who came up with this? But whenever this debate comes up in our office, I push back on it just a little bit. Because I think that Mary knew that Jesus was something special. The angel says, you know, this is something special. This is a miracle. But I'm not sure that Mary knew exactly who Jesus was. In their culture, in their day and age, they thought the Messiah was going to be some king that would come and would rule like King David. That is, he would overthrow the enemies that were hurting Israel. And so Mary understood what the angel said, but she had some kind of preconceived notion. That is, she had some expectations of God that this message didn't fit. And we know this to be true because when Jesus is an adult and he's teaching and there's a crowd around him, Mary and the rest of her kids are sitting there and they're listening to Jesus teach and they're embarrassed by him. and they want him to stop talking. And Jesus responds to them and says, I'm not going to stop talking. These are my people. I got to preach. It shows us that Mary did not fully comprehend the message of the angel. I don't think that Mary understood that Jesus was coming not to be some king that ruled an empire, but to be a king that would lay down his life and die on a cross for her. She didn't fully understand. And I think she didn't understand because she had an expectation. The truth of the matter is it's a common problem for us that we have an expectation of God. And when God doesn't match our expectation, it causes all sorts of turmoil in our lives. Have you ever thought that God was one thing, or God should answer a prayer one way, or God should intervene in the midst of your mess, and then when God doesn't show up, you start to say, what's going on, God? In fact, Christians are great at celebrating God one moment when he answers a prayer, but then if we're honest with ourselves, we question where he's at the second he doesn't come through. So often in life, unmet expectation are resentments waiting to happen. And it's true in relationships, but it's really true with God. That you have some expectations of God. You think that God should be something. And when God doesn't show up, when God doesn't clean up the mess, even if it's a mess that you've created, when God doesn't act the way you think God should act, you question and you wonder, God, where are you at? Are you real? Because if I was in charge, if I was God, I'd be cleaning up this mess a little quicker. I wouldn't let this stuff happen. And there are so many problems in our world. There's so many issues. There's so many messes. It can be easy to say, God, where are you? Come on, God. Are we going through another 400 years of silence? Would you intervene? Would you do something? I love the quote by Bob Goff. He says that God invites us to be a part of his plans, not to approve them. In life, so often, when God does interact, we say, no, that's not right. I don't like that. That doesn't fit my plan. That doesn't fit my story. I wouldn't do it that way, but God doesn't need our approval. The truth of the matter is that when God acts, he's always good and he's always filled with love. The problem is we often have a wrong expectation. And here's the deal. When you struggle with life's messes, it doesn't mean that God is not good. Oftentimes Christians think that if God is good, my life should also be good. But the truth of the matter is those two things don't always go together. You can go through a mess and God is still good. You can struggle and God is still good. You can doubt your faith and God is still good. Those two things are not opposites. In fact, they can go together. You can wrestle in this world and say, my life is a mess. And yet at the same time say, God is still good. In the midst of the mess of life, it's so easy to forget the good things that God has done. It's one of the reasons why this year I started a 5-year journal. And it's a really cool journal. It just has 5 lines on it for every day of the year. And I just write some of the good things that God has done that day, just some little celebrations. And what happens is next year, when I get to this exact same time, I can see what was going on in this day last year, and I can just be reminded. And the reason that I'm doing that is because it's so easy to forget the great things that God has done. And it's so easy to forget the prayers that God has answered. And when God doesn't show up, we focus on that. In fact, some of you are here today, because God didn't come through in one way that you wanted him to, you've said to yourself, that's it, I'm just done with God. And yet you've ignored all the amazing things that God has done and all the times he did protect you and all the times he has come through, because it's so easy to get disappointed with God when God doesn't act the way that we think he should act. And in the midst of a mess, what we have to do is we have to acknowledge that God is still good. And we may have to wrestle with this mess. In fact, in the midst of a mess, you might have to go see a Christian counselor and get some help. In the midst of a mess, you might have to be vulnerable and tell someone, hey, listen, I have a good God, but I still have a mess of a life. And this messes with Christians, because Christians are great at celebrating God, but we're not great at saying, you know what, I still struggle. And if you're here today, what I want you to know is you will experience a mess, whether you believe in God or not. God doesn't always take away the mess, but he is the thing that gets us through the mess. And we cannot get through the mess of life until we acknowledge we are going through them. So just for a second, would you admit there's some mess somewhere in your life? Either it's a mess that you've created or it's a mess that someone else has created. And you can try to ignore it. You can try to bury it deep down inside. But the mess doesn't go away by ignoring it. It only starts to go away when you acknowledge that it's there. So the angel tells Mary that she's going to have God's son. And look how Mary responds in Luke 1:34. She says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? How will this be? Now, this is a great response. I wish that the people of faith in the scriptures were just like, yeah, if you said it, you're from God, I believe it, whatever you say is going to go. But this shows that, like, even someone who is sitting there with an angel in front of them is like, ah, hold on a second. Let me give you some facts. You're telling me that I'm pregnant, but how can this be? I'm a virgin. Now, I know that none of you have ever said that to God. But I guarantee that at some point in your life, you've given God your excuse. And it may not be this excuse that Mary gave, but I guarantee at some point, some of you have said, God can't use me because I've messed up. And maybe the reason you don't get plugged into church, and maybe the reason you're not really cool with the God thing is because you know the mistakes that you've made, and you say to yourself, God can't use me. I just messed up. I've screwed up. Surely he can't use me. And if you've ever made that statement, I want you to know that God is in the business of using messy people. He doesn't use perfect people, because if he was waiting for perfect people, he wouldn't use any of us. Or maybe you said this, I just need to clean up my life, and then God can use me. Have you ever thought, yeah, like, you know, I would like to get back in church, I would like to serve God, but I just need to clean up my life. I got some issues, I got some baggage. Once I clean that stuff up, then I'll serve God. And so many people wait to be better, but what if being better never comes? What if you never get to that place where you're better? Saying that I just need to clean up my life and then God can use me is like saying I'm going to wait to be skinny and then do a diet. Thank you for laughing. I think that's funny. But think about it. Who would do that? Who would say, you know what, I'm not going to get healthy until I get thin? No one would say that. And yet with faith, we say the exact same thing. We say, I'm going to clean up my life and then I'll come to God. Well, what if the answer to the mess in your life is God? Maybe you've said this. I'm no one special. God won't use me. It's easy to think that God only uses special people, but if this story of Christmas tells us anything, it's that God uses really, really normal, plain people. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a small group leader to be used by God. You just have to be available. Have you ever said this? I don't know enough about God for him to use me. It's a common thought. Our fear of what we don't know stops us from doing what we do know. But here's the deal. If God calls you to do something, he's going to give you everything you need to do it. So don't wait until you have the knowledge. Go on the journey and watch how he provides. And maybe you've said this, I'm scared that God will tell me to do something I don't want to do. That's a common response. If an angel came to you right now and said, hey, I want to use you, the response you might have is, I don't know, I'm kind of scared, I'm afraid. In fact, Mary was afraid when the angel started to speak. And if we're honest, we are scared. We're scared that if we give our lives to God, he's going to call us to the Bunga Bunga jungle and make us become a missionary. I don't want to go to the Bunga Bunga jungle. They don't have air conditioning. I like air conditioning. Have you ever been afraid to say, like, have you ever said, I'm really scared to go all in for God. I'm scared to get serious about my faith because he's going to tell me to do something that I don't want to do. As if to say that God is this, like, mean bully up in heaven who's just waiting to torture us. Let me tell you, if God tells you to do something, even though you might be scared, it is always for your good. And if you would just trust that God is good and that God is love and follow his plan, you would see him do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. But you got to stop pushing God off. And you got to stop making excuses. And you got to go all in. So here's a question that I want you to wrestle with. Where did I resist Jesus today? Where did I resist Jesus today? Because the truth of the matter is whether you're fully in with Jesus, if you'd say you're a Christian or you're new to this church scene, all of us resist Jesus somehow. We all say, no, God, you can't have that area of my life. We all say, that issue, it's my issue. Let me figure that out. We all say, I'm too embarrassed to talk about that. There's something that we keep God at arm's length. So where is it in your life that you resist Jesus today? God wants to use you, but you got to stop resisting. Let's keep reading to see how the angel responds to Mary. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I want to stop there just for a second. This is an amazing image. It references the very first scriptures in Genesis, first book of the Bible. It tells us that the Holy Spirit hovered over the seas. And the Holy Spirit created the life that is everything in the earth. And it's the same picture now that the Holy Spirit is hovering over Mary and going to provide life. And that life comes in Jesus. And here's something that's amazing. Scripture says that when you believe in Jesus, that same Holy Spirit gives life to you. And if there's a mess in your life, and you don't have the strength to wrestle with it, and you don't have the strength to fix it, and you don't even know where to start, I want to tell you that we have a God who hovers over dead things and brings life. God gives life where there is no life. I hate to say this on a holiday weekend, because there's a lot of visitors, but we have a rule at Next Level, and the rule is when one person claps, everybody just needs to clap, because it just makes me feel like you hate what's going on or like you're bored or something. And so I don't know why when I said, like, God brings life, some of you are just like, I refuse to clap. But next time, just clap. Just go with it. Even if, like, you've tuned it out and you're just thinking about what you're going to do after this, if you hear clapping, just roll with it. Just go with it. Yeah, I don't know what I'm clapping about. I'm just clapping. It's not that hard. Let's keep reading. It says, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age. What I love about this is not a one-off miracle. This is not just, hey, I'm just giving you a blessing. The angel is saying, hey, someone else is experiencing this too, as if to say, God is in the business of miracles. And this isn't something that you just say, oh yeah, God did something special for Mary. God can change every single one of our lives. And God tells Mary that, hey, listen, this message, it's going to change your life, but it's already changing your cousin's life. She's pregnant. What doctors said were impossible, God made possible. Look at what he says. He says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. But now catch this next line. For nothing is impossible with God. Would you humor me and just say that phrase? Oh yeah, you can clap. Some of you are testing me like I can't see you. I see you not clapping. Would you humor me and would you just say this phrase? Because this is the culmination of everything. This is where all this stuff is coming through. This is, no matter if you have a huge mess, if you're coming out of a mess, if you're going into a mess, this is what everything is about. The angel said, for nothing is impossible with God. Would you just say that out loud? For nothing is impossible with God. That was really good, but could you say it with a little bit more conviction? For nothing is impossible with God. I'm really proud of you, but I think you got more in you. Would you say it loud? For nothing is impossible with God. Now, you said it, but the question is, do you believe it? Because in the midst of a mess, it is so often to say, God, you're not big enough to handle my mess. But nothing is impossible with God. It might be the mess that you've created, and God's bigger than your mess. It might be the mess that someone else has created. You don't know how you're going to get out of it, but nothing is impossible with God. I want to show you the end of Louis' story, because I love the way it ends and concludes. If you remember, last we left off Louis, it said this was Louis' story, and his response was, who cares, because the mess of life. As we keep reading, it says, once upon a time, little Louis went skipping merrily along. Tra-la-la-la-la, he sang. Oh, life was so much simpler back then. For in his heart, Louis knew everything was just what? Just what? Fine. Wow. Everything is fine. And I'm still here. And you're still reading. And it's a pretty good story. Messes and all. So come on, let's finish this. This is Louis' story. I love it, and nothing is going to stop me. The end. Listen, friends, things in life don't always go by the book. There's often times when you have plans for your life and a mess comes and it just hits you. It's like, where did this come from? I didn't expect this. This isn't the plan that I had. But in the midst of a mess, would you remember that nothing is impossible with God? Would you not stiff-arm God when you go through a mess, and would you invite him to come and be a part of it? God is the answer. God is the solution. Jesus does change everything. And I don't know what the mess is you've gone in. I don't know if it's something you've caused or something someone's done for you, but I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is not done with your story. And it is fine. You are still here. And it's a good story. So here's the win. The win's what we do with all this. Would you identify where you're resisting Jesus? And this isn't just something for church people. It's for all of us. There's some area where you're resisting Jesus. Would you identify it? Would you think about it? Where are you pushing God off? Where are you saying, God, you can't have that part of my life? Right now, would you give him your mess? No matter how scary it is to you, would you know that nothing's impossible with God? Would you know that God's not scared by your mess? He's not scared by your problems. He's not scared by our issues. But here's the kicker with all this. Tomorrow, will you live like you know that nothing is impossible with God? Because here's the thing. I'm so honored that you're here today, and I love that you made this a priority and that you came to celebrate Christmas with us. I think it's really cool. But if we walk out and tomorrow we just get back into our lives and we allow the stresses of life, we allow the problems, we allow the traffic, we allow the issues to mess with us, and we forget that we serve a God who is in the business of doing impossible things, then this is all just a waste. So what if we gave God permission to clean up the messes in our life? And when we doubt that God's big enough, what if we remembered that God does impossible things? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we wrestle with the fact that nothing is impossible for you, but you tell it to us. So would you help us to remember that? God, tomorrow and on Christmas when we're struggling with relatives and family and issues and stress, would you help us to remember it's going to be okay? We're fine. Would you help us not miss out on Christmas because of our to-do list, because of our anxiety, because of our stress? Would you help us to allow you into our mess? We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.